Early on the morning after Sabbath, Passover, two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, rose to visit the grave. They wanted to visit the grave of their spiritual leader, known as Jesus of Nazareth. They reported that a severe earthquake had occurred, and the huge stone which had been placed in front of the grave on the orders of Pilate had been rolled away. Strangely, this stone was placed there as the chief priests and the Pharisees requested, because they had interpreted what Jesus said before his execution: "After 3 days, I'm going to rise again." Pilate ordered that the stone be placed, as they were afraid that the followers of Jesus planned to steal the body and then say to the people, "He has risen from the dead." To keep peace with the Jewish religious leaders, Pilate ordered that guards be assigned to watch over the stone. Many of Jesus' followers are calling the empty tomb a miracle and claim that an angel of the Lord descended from the heaven, rolled the stone away, and was found sitting on it when the women arrived that morning. Meanwhile, the citizens of Jerusalem were divided. Chaos was everywhere. That truly was a week that the world had never seen before. Just 1 week earlier, it's amazing that in less than that 1 week, people went from shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," to crying out, "Crucify! Crucify!" The scriptures tell us, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus told the disciples, "Let's go ahead to Jerusalem." As they approached the Mount of Olivet, he said to two disciples, "Go into the village, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you're untying it, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So they went away and found the colt just as Jesus had said. As they were untying the colt, the owner said to him, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord has need of it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their coats upon it, and put Jesus on it. It is reported that during that week, Jesus drove the money exchangers from the temple, after telling those assembled, "It is written, 'My house should be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a robber's den." And he continued to teach daily in the temple. Reports are being circulated that the scribes and the chief priests began plotting Jesus' death. After teaching in the temple all day, Jesus would leave at night to spend that evening on Mount Olivet. In the morning, people would return to the temple as he continued to teach. The first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed, arrived. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare it?" He said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you will say to him, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." They left and found everything just as he had told them. They prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, Jesus reclined at the table with the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I earnestly wanted to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it has been fulfilled in the kingdom of God." When he had taken the cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not eat of the fruit from the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took some bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant and my blood." We celebrate this Easter morning by celebrating communion together. We call it communion, but in ancient times, it was an observance called the Passover, because we're reminded of the story in Exodus where God chose to release his people from Egypt after a time of bondage. And as a remembrance to what God had done for them, he said that on the time of Passover, you're to eat of the unleavened bread and you're to drink of the wine in remembrance of what I have done for you. And because it was the Passover season, Jesus took those same symbols and gave them new meaning. Throughout his teaching, he said, "I am the bread of life." He also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And so we use the bread and the grape juice to remember our connection to Jesus. We remember that Jesus shed his body for us, and that he shed his blood for us. And so as the ushers circulate the elements of communion, the bread and the wine, we remember that we have an open communion, and that anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived on earth, that he died, and is risen from the dead, and you've asked him into your heart as Lord and Savior, you are welcome to join us in this observance. And as you receive the elements, will you hold them until the end so that we may truly take them together. Amazing love. The love of God, that from the beginning of time he knew that we had to be restored to him, and he prepared the way, and he knew that that time would come. And when it did, just hours before Jesus' death, he used the symbols of the bread, and he said, "This is my body, which will be broken for you. As often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of me." And likewise, he picked up the cup, and he said, "This is my blood, which will be shed for you." Heavenly Father, as we partake of these elements of the bread and the juice, help us to remember your love for each of us, that we are forgiven, that we are white as snow, that we are your children, and we have this privilege only because you have loved us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. As often as you drink of this, do it in remembrance of him. After Jesus had said that this would be my blood, which would be poured out for you, he became troubled in spirit. And he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." Being greatly grieved, each of them said, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me." Judas, who was betraying him, said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus said, "You have said it yourself." After supper, Jesus got up and he laid aside his garments. Taking a towel, he girded himself. He poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had put around himself. He arrived at Peter. Peter said, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part of me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." After singing a hymn, as was his custom, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this evening. For it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the flock will be scattered.' But after I have raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." They arrived at a place called Gethsemane. He told his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray. Join me now in a moment of silent reflection and prayer." Would you join me in prayer? Father, we come today to celebrate the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunity of coming together as a church family to celebrate the greatest gift of all, your love for each of us. This morning we pray for those who are unable to be here through illness, through travel, through work. We rejoice that there are so many with us. And Lord, we thank you that people are concerned about other people. We think of all of our military men and women that are stationed throughout the world. We pray for them today. We pray for all those that are having to work to serve others today. We pray for our friend Crystal, who's at a very low point in her life, and she wants to come to church and to start over again. So, Lord, we pray for her, and we ask that she feel that welcomeness and have that opportunity to come and to be part of us. We pray for all those who are ill. We pray for those who have cancer, who have heart trouble, who have the flu. And now, hear us as we pray together the prayer that our brother Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As Jesus moved away from his disciples to a little more private spot, he knelt down and he began to pray. He said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in agony, he was praying very fervently. His sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. After he rose from prayer, he returned to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. While he was speaking, a crowd came, and the one called Judas approached Jesus and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" the soldiers arrested Jesus and led him away. Jesus appeared before the Sanhedrin, Pilate, and Herod. Herod said, "I will punish him and release him." Now, tradition was that at Passover feast, he would release one criminal. The crowd was insistent. They wanted Jesus to die. Pilate pronounced his sentence upon Jesus. Jesus was beaten. We are reminded of the prophecy from Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb, he was led to slaughter. And like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. They took Jesus, and then he went out bearing his own cross to the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. They crucified him. It is now about the sixth hour. Darkness fell upon the land. Darkness remained for 3 hours. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, "My God! My God! Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, knowing that all things had been accomplished to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. And crying out in a loud voice, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Lightning appeared, thunder crashed, and the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook, rocks were split, the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now the centurion and those around him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became frightened, and they said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." When it was evening, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, asked Pilate if he could have the body of Jesus. Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph laid Jesus in a new tomb, and he rolled a large stone across the entrance and went away. As dawn began to break on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. That was a week that was never seen before or seen since. And now the rest of the story. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen. The story and the death, the resurrection is just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus died for everyone. John told us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. And no matter who you are or what language you speak, there is only one true and living God. In any language, anyone will still understand and believe that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.